Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you've sent your Spirit among us this morning. Now, Holy Spirit, as you're with us this morning, take these words and thoughts of mine and use them to speak to us. Take our ears and finely attune them that Jesus, in the midst of all that I say, it's your word we'd hear. Amen. Please be seated. You see an old box in somewhat bad repair. But I see a box I admired for years on my grandfather's chest of drawers in their bedroom out in the farmhouse. My grandfather, what a wonderful nurturing figure in my life. The farm where we'd go off every summer for 2 weeks, he would come home after a day's work and have to do some work at the farm, but would make sure that he spent time with us kids, and it was great. What wonderful memories. And I think the story is this was not only his, but was his father's. My grandfather died shortly after he retired, so I wasn't very old, but have great fond memories. And my grandmother gave me this. This was a shaving box to remember him with. As I look at it, great fond memories, and it's a precious gift to me, and because it's so precious, I want to do everything I can to take care of it. When I first got it, I relined it because the interior was getting a little bit tattered and worn. But even though I've no longer used it at all, even for storage, just keep it on a shelf, I can see it's deteriorating more and more. But I desire to keep it because it's a precious gift. When you receive a precious gift like this, you're like me, I'm sure, and want to take good care of it. Listen to Paul's words to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it's a gift of God. The gift of grace. I was really perplexed when I began to prepare for today, and one of our readings was 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And I was perplexed by that very first verse. Working together with him, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And I just stopped there. I thought, how can you receive the grace of God in vain when you realize what the grace of God is? What is Paul saying? And then I thought back to the parable that Jesus spoke, the parable of the sower. It's recorded in Matthew. And I went back to Matthew and I looked at the interpretation of the seed that two ways, the seed not on the good soil, but the other where the seed went to the other places. Listen to Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 20. As for what was sown on thin, rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy, yet has no real root in him, but its temper lasts but a little while. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble and begins to distrust and desert him who he ought to trust in and obey and falls away. For what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but cares of the world and pleasures and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. The seed can be seen as the gift of grace. And here you see that it just went onto the ground and it never really took root. Or the roots were so shallow that they were choked out. I think I'm beginning to understand what Paul meant. We appeal you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Then I went on another search and I looked up that same chapter and verse in other translations. Listen to the Message translation. Companions, as we are in this work with you, we beg you, please do not squander one bit this marvelous life God has given us, that of grace. Do not squander. Now that's an interesting interpretation rather than in vain. Or the J.B. Phillips translation. As co-operators with God himself, we beg you, not to fail to use the grace of God. to let it sit dormant, to see it but not to embrace it. Okay, a little more clarity. Or the New Living Translation. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's grace and ignore it. Okay, I'm understanding. It's like Jesus said. The seed will fall on various kinds of ground. But it's intended, the seed, the gift of grace, the gospel, will fall on fertile soil and take hold and change and transform that around it. When you understand what the gospel of grace is, this gift of grace, it can't help but change you. You can't help but treat it like that special box and want to protect it and take care of it and use it rightly. Listen to one of my favorite chapters and verses, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, under God's plan as an apostle, a special agent of Christ Jesus, writing to the faithful believers in Ephesus, I greet you with grace and peace. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. It settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out at the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by our misdeeds. And not just barely free, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set this all out before us in Christ Jesus, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in the deepest heaven and everything on the planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for his glorious living, part of the overall purpose of his working out in everything and on everyone. It's in Christ that you once, who have heard the truth, believed it, and found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. That's grace, lavished upon us, is gift-giving. It's much more precious than that precious box that I remember my grandfather and my great-grandfather. Jesus says, recorded in John chapter 8, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. That's because of grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is through you by the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Ephesians, John, and 2 Timothy encapsulize for me the tremendous gift of grace. And Paul is telling us today in our reading, don't ignore it, don't neglect it, but embrace it, receive it. And as you do, your life will be transformed and you will want to be different, because of realization of what he's done to give us that grace. But you say, how? Oh, I appreciate so much the grace that God has given me and that wonderful gift. But how can I be different? I struggle to be different. The good news is found in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. It is God who is all the will effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire to do His will and His work. Do you hear that? The Holy Spirit gives us the energy and the power and the desire to live differently. I don't have to drum it up myself, but as I receive and embrace that gift of grace, and because of the overwhelming gratitude I have for that gift, I want to be different. I have the Holy Spirit to help me to be different as I cooperate with Him, that incredible gift. You see, as we receive it, as we embrace it, we're not to look like the world. We're not to be crippled with our own fears, indecision, problems, and shattered dreams. As Paul said to Timothy, we have not received a spirit of fear, but because of the gift of grace, we've received a spirit of power, love, and self-control. We have been set free. We have been lavished upon us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Wow. Is your life different because you've embraced the gift of grace? What we gather for here each and every Sunday is to be reminded of the gift of grace from beginning to end, from the very first note of the song to the very last words of the dismissal. We're to be reminded of the help that the Holy Spirit offers us to live the life of grace. And it's my intent that as you leave, that each and every Sunday, you hear the words of the blessing that I've been saying over the last 10 years. About 10 or 12 years ago, my previous bishop began to use the blessing, be watchful, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong. Let everything you do be done in love. I thought those words are the last words we need to hear. And those words come from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. And so that's why those are the words I use as the final blessing each and every Sunday. Be watchful, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong. Let everything you do be done in love, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because I want us to walk from this place, having embraced grace, and allowing grace to transform us, and for us to live differently. May you, may we, together. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of grace. We thank you for an incredible love, indescribable love. May it change us and transform us. May we live a life different than the world lives because of the grace that has been given to us and we've received. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.